At Freedom HealthWorks, we're focused on putting medical professionals back in control of their practices. Utilizing a structured, tailored approach to business, startup, and operations, it could make sense for you to work with our professional team to avoid expensive pitfalls and, more importantly, expedite your journey to success. As we all know, time is money. If you're involved in the practice of medicine and desire to practice free of headaches and constraints, reach out for a no-obligation consultative conversation. Call us today at 317-804-1203 or visit freedomhealthworks.com.
Hello and welcome to Healthcare Americana, where we explore the frontiers of healthcare, bringing you insights from the leaders and innovators reshaping the industry. I'm Christopher Habig, CEO of Freedom HealthWorks and the host of Healthcare Americana. And in today's episode, we're diving into the innovative world of direct care, as always, and how it intersects with transparent, affordable medical imaging and how we bring in employer benefit plans into a larger industry. Joining us is Dr. Kristen Dickerson, founder of Green Imaging and a very active member of the Free Market Medical Association out of the Houston chapter. Dr. Dickerson, welcome to the show. It's a pleasure to be speaking to you again.
Thanks so much. Excited to be here again and catch up. Lots happened over the last few years.
A lot has happened the last few years, and I always get a chance to run into you at like-minded conferences, and I can't believe it's already been nearly 2 years since you were on the show last. Just for the audience's benefit, we had a great episode really diving into green imaging and really the nuances of your business model and really your motivations for starting that. I do want to give today's listeners just a quick synopsis of what your day job is on the green imaging side. So give us that quick elevator pitch and, well, maybe not that quick, but very long elevator ride of green imaging just to bring us up to speed.
Sure. Well, I founded Green Imaging 13 years ago to solve a problem in my community, which was there wasn't affordable imaging. The hospital systems had bought up the imaging centers that were operating in network. The handful of imaging centers that I was reading for as, an outpatient radiologist, I was running a radiology group, were operating out of network. And so patient, responsibilities were super high. If they went there, if they went to the hospital, they were paying several thousand for an MRI. And so decided to solve the problem, went out and did a pro forma to open an imaging center, and I was going to have to charge what everybody else did. And so Travelocity and a lot of models that were using untapped resources and to offer savings were emerging. And it turns out that radiologists are allowed to do some things with imaging centers that other physicians cannot, because we're not referring physicians. We are considered consultants. We are reading physicians, and we're not, an order has to come from some other doctor for me to read an exam. And so we're able to do per-click lease arrangements. And so I was able to use the network of facilities we were actually reading for as radiologists, buy extra time on the table at a discount, flip imaging on its head, where the imaging center typically bought the interpretation from the radiologists and billed globally. We bought the scan from the imaging center and billed globally, and we were able to really provide savings. But it turns out that it's not a problem unique to Houston. I really had run a self-funded healthcare plan as president of a big multi-specialty group in the Texas Medical Center. I knew that direct contracting could do what we're seeing in our ecosystem now, where we're not just providing care to individual patients at a savings and improved quality, we're actually offering it in employer health plans. And so 7-8 years ago, we started contracting with TPAs and with employers. And as we did that, it really became clear that we needed to be national. And as of beginning of last year, about 15 months ago, we are in 50 states.
All 50. Got them checked off. I hope you had a big party about that, because it's somebody that's hard to do. Not a lot of companies actually want to do business in all 50 states.
Right. There are a couple of them we would almost rather not. Now, we only employ people in Texas, I will say that. But we do provide imaging in 50 states. And actually, the malpractice coverage for that was, astronomical. That was one of the big barriers. The other big barrier has been really cybersecurity. We're aggregating data, employers' data in a way that a traditional network doesn't. You know, they are not aggregating the images and reports and everything else. So that's the other big, you know, thing that has been a big expense for us is actually doing the SOC 2, Type 2 audit and making sure we're totally compliant there. You know, that doesn't protect anybody, as we know from recent news.
At the time of this recording, yeah, exactly. OptumRx got hit pretty hard with some malware hackers. I'm not even sure what's going on there. So that's when as soon as you said that, my eyes kind of went big. I'm like, oh, all right.
Yeah.
Even the biggest pharmacy in the country, one of the biggest pharmacy providers in the country, just got hit and breached.
Right. And Change Healthcare, which is actually providing the insurance verification for some Optum users.
Optum's got their hands in everything these days. But what I love about green imaging is, you know, from our standpoint, from a national direct care, you know, network and community of physicians, imaging's always been something that's been very localized, or even I'll say like a kind of a regional type of service where we got to do a lot of homework and go out there. But being able to look at green imaging and be like, oh, look at this, all 50 states, it really changed the landscape of the imaging industry. Took it out, and originally, from my standpoint, took it out of the hands of the hospitals and then really took it out of the hands of these regional players. But you're still playing very nicely with those hospitals and with the regional players. These aren't, you know, just to kind of interpret what you said, these aren't green imaging standalone centers that you're building. So when you talked about capacity and untapped capacity, I think that's the big revelation that I want to make sure listeners understand.
Yeah. And, you know, actually the hospitals, we actually provide a great solution for hospitals right now. Number one, their radiology groups are not wanting to play nicely with bundled pricing. They're private equity backed largely, and they're wanting to split bill where the patient gets a surprise bill at the end of the year. And also they have a problem with rising out-of-pocket costs and patients' inability to pay their portion, the patient responsibility for the exam. They're sometimes collecting, you know, 9 to 26 cents on the dollar. And we can solve both of those problems. Our lease arrangement makes it possible for us to read the studies. They're not the hospital's patients. They're actually green imaging patients. And so, you know, we're leasing the time at their facility. And so we can get around the exclusivity clauses. And then also we're going to pay them, you know, a fair price and pay them promptly. And there's no patient collections or insurance verification. No same day, second exam discounts. You know, we try to solve. I've owned 5 imaging centers in my career, and I try to solve the problems that those imaging centers have.
In a broad manner of speaking, you know, in the healthcare landscape, we hear a lot of criticism. It's opaque. There's no transparency. There's too high a cost. Nobody knows what the actual price is. I look at green imaging as one of the beacons of success. I was about to say hope, but it's not even hope anymore. It's actually proven success that you can have a model in healthcare dealing with very sophisticated machinery and, you know, very high educated and highly trained individuals, but you can also put a fair price on there and run a successful market-based business. So what impact has your approach in green imaging had on the overall direct care medical movement?
You know, I really thought that I've always built green imaging to be something that could succeed just based on quality, because my thought was that transparency, the transparency laws, the transparency movement, the competition was going to make a more even playing field. And we really haven't seen that happen. We still focus on quality because someday it is going to happen. But that's not the only reason we focus on quality. We focus on quality because that's what's important. But, high quality at a fair price is something that we're still struggling to find in the markets. The imaging centers themselves, the individual ones, don't want to put their pricing out there because they're afraid that the BUCAs are going to use that to negotiate down their contracted rates. And some of them are starting to establish. We're seeing some self-pay pricing, and it's usually very fair. Medicare pricing has imaging has taken the past 20 years, you know, cut after cut after cut to offset increases in E&M reimbursement. And I think it's $211 now from Medicare for an EMRI, which is not sustainable. You know, it's really a patient can hardly walk in the door for that. With helium shortages, labor shortages, all the things that are going on, and the high cost of the equipment. And so we really have not yet seen competition in the transparency department yet. There are a few beacons of hope out there, and I welcome it. You know, I think we're a great model for some entities, for some employers, for some patients, but we're not a one-stop shop. There should be options out there for patients.
I think it's key to highlight for everybody that says, when you say, look, I welcome more market entrants into this who want to play in this world, it's almost a steel, sharp, and steel type of a mindset that competition is very, very healthy. Because all too often in healthcare, we hear people saying, well, I can't publish prices because it's just going to be a race to the bottom and that's going to affect quality and all this other stuff. And I'm like, geez, guys, do you actually understand what's coming out of your mouth right now? Like, you can't possibly believe that. So, you know, I salute you on your mindset. And that's always why, you know, I've been a big believer in what the FMA is trying to do and getting together like-minded people, because we say the same thing all the time when, you know, it's almost like, hey, this town's not big enough for two direct care practices. And I'm thinking, well, actually it is, because that helps educate everybody else and that helps bring in competition and it forces a good patient experience. And that's just so, so important in healthcare these days. So I want to talk, you know, taking that direct care mindset that you have of, look, it's going to be all about quality and it's going to be about not bankrupting our people when they actually need to come in and use us. Green imaging, and you've been really the tip of spear in a lot of this, reaching out to employers. So walk us through really what your mindset is when you're saying, all right, let's go craft employer plans using green imaging, using other allies in what I'm going to keep referring to as the direct care industry. Walk us through kind of a day in the life of what that means to green imaging and what that means to employers and their plans.
Well, I'll kind of walk through a potential candidate for green imaging. We have an employer that comes our way and wants to see if green imaging can save money or provide better access. And so we are able to get their claims data. In Texas, you know, it's law that they're, you know, we have access to their claims data. It's very interesting. Some of United, actually, the UMR will only give you the patient responsibility or the plan responsibility, not both at the same time. So that's pretty opaque. But, you know, most of the time we can rebundle. We can find the professional fees for the exam. We can find the facility fees for the exam. We can find the what are called HCPCS codes, which are the pharmaceutical codes for the contrast and any medications that are needed. We can rebundle all of those things and compare them to our bundled pricing in that region. And so we've got some code that does this now, but it's still a process that we have to watch very carefully. We have to look for outliers. I know with Cigna, we frequently see that exams are supposed to be billed if they're outpatient with a CPT code, but they often have a hospital revenue code. And so that seems to be one way that claims escape adjudication. And so we find very high cost exams under those codes. But we're able to really give the employer an idea of what they're going to save. And that savings can range anywhere from about 85% down to, if they're on a reference-based pricing plan, we can be pretty flat with that. But when you look at the shared savings or whatever they're paying for the reference-based pricing plan and the noise of the balance billing that happens, you know, we still have huge savings. And so, you know, it really depends on what cost containment they have in place. There are some networks that offer really discounted imaging where the reimbursement is super low. But those networks are usually, their access can be a real problem for those members. And so access is hard. It has been, you know, right after the pandemic, mammography access was very limited, especially diagnostic mammography. It's getting harder and harder to get diagnostic mammograms because radiologists aren't on site. They aren't sitting there reviewing those studies anymore. They're doing teleradiology. And so I would say the other thing really difficult to access are GI fluoroscopic studies, upper GIs, things that used to be bread and butter of radiology, because no radiologists are on site staffing the facilities. They're all reading remotely. And it's a really interesting problem to try to access these exams. And, you know, that's one of the things we're able to solve for, is that we have a very broad network. And so we can show them the savings. There, we train their members. We have lots of videos. We have lots of paper materials that can educate their members about how to use us. We work with navigation companies. Our brand new shiny tool, our shiny object right now, is our new navigator portal, where navigators, instead of kind of two concierge kind of clashing, navigators can check on pricing. They can upload any documents, orders that need to be, and what the patient's preferences are. And then they can see in real time as we schedule the patient what the status of that patient is. And so, you know, we work with the employer, and it's very specific. You know, I used to hear brokers say, every health plan is different. Well, it's true. Every health plan is different. Every patient population is different. Every industry has certain special features that happens with their imaging. And so we really do customize what we're doing with that specific employer. The implementation is key. The implementation of the other solutions in the health plan is also key. One of the things that we ran into real issues with last year was stop loss, and that, you know, the people underwriting the plans didn't have a real idea of what solutions were in place and what that meant to the plan, and, you know, what kind of percentage utilization had to happen for them to give the decrements that they did. And so I think, you know, working with those other solutions in our implementation is also key. And then finally, we are able to provide ongoing savings reports. So we can look at what they're spending for imaging over in their Aetna plan, and, you know, the members that are not accessing us, what the members that are accessing us are doing, and compare apples to apples and show them the savings.
Do you have any employers who look at that and say, well, this still isn't a good idea, I'm just going to go back to what is their traditional plan over here, because I'm terrified that my employees aren't going to understand a new type of a plan or being pushed or navigated one way versus the other? They just want this little card in their wallet that has a blue cross and a blue shield on it, and that's it.
Well, I think we're starting to see some solutions that get around that. And I think the Houston plan, Houston Business Coalition on Health, is actually doing a plan that can be an option outside of the Blue Cross Blue Shield plan for these members who are declining the plan because they can't afford the premium, would have another option with zero out of pocket. So I think that's a really good plan for those people. What I always say is there's no risk. Why would you not do this? There's no admin fee. There's no PEPM. If your members don't use us,
don't pay for it.
You don't pay for it. And so that aligns our incentives with the employer.
And I love that approach, because we see it a lot from the direct primary care side of it, where somebody's going to say, hey, Chris, I'm going to bring you 100 lives, but I want you to discount your price by half. And I say, well, in what world does that make sense? Because there's no widgets. The doctor's time is just as valuable whether you have one new patient or 100 new patients. Like, you don't get to, there's no setup charges or anything like that. It's not printing t-shirts. And they say, well, a certain percentage of these people are never going to come see you. So that's where you earn your money back on it. And it absolutely blows my mind. And I kind of look at them and saying, like, we have two distinct versions of reality. I would love for 100% participation, and I need you to pay us for the full price of this. So just pay us for the people that actually value their health and value to come see a physician. Same type of mindset that you're employing over here. You're not asking for payment for people who want to go use the other system, I would say. You're just giving everybody an option, and you can wake up and smell the coffee or not. It's up to you.
Yeah, and I could see ultimately, you know, one of the things that I see maybe in the long term is helping those patients who are choosing to stay in the system. You know, yes, we offer this, but if you've met your deductible, let's save your employer some money over here so they can give you more in wages, and let's get you to a high quality, lower cost facility.
I would love for employers to start doing that, because I'll have conversations with people just in my kind of close network. And every once in a while, I get somebody who says, you know what, I'm going to go choose more of a Freedom HealthWorks type of a plan over here and ask for a raise because they're not paying my benefits. And I don't think any of them have been successful in getting that raise. They just say, they're just a little confused. Like, well, wait a minute, why wouldn't you want this insurance plan? And they're saying, well, it's half my paycheck. Why would I actually want that? You know, but I, if employers are doing that, I salute them. And I would, gosh, if anybody's listening, I'd love to talk to you because.
Well, we actually have a state representative, James Frank, who is doing that. And what he told his employers, he's doing a, you know, our kind of ecosystem health plan in Wichita Falls, Texas, of all places, which is not an easy or inexpensive place to get healthcare. And what he told his members is that, you know, anything we save is going back in your pockets. It's not going in my pocket. So whether that's 401k, whether it's wages, everything that's saved is going back to you. And he's had tremendous success.
Good for him. Good for him. I want to take that thread. I want to stay on it. Once again, we're talking to Dr. Kristen Dickerson with Green Imaging. So, Dr. Dickerson, so there's been some recent legislation in Texas at the state level that I think is very cutting edge and very applicable to what you were just talking about before. Specifically, newly signed into law, Texas House Bills 711 and House Bill 2002. Give us a quick rundown of these two pieces of legislation. I know you're intimately familiar with them and actively worked on them to benefit the people of the great state of Texas.
Well, and I would say James Frank, and then we also have Representative Oliverson out of Houston, who's an anesthesiologist, have been, you know, critical to getting these passed. House Bill 711, I didn't see as such a milestone because I feel like the HIPAA omnibus law has affords that to everybody. And that is the fact that a health plan can't insist, you know, that it is exclusive, that the members cannot go to a self-pay option, an additional network, another tier of care. And so that really, to me, has been statute since 2013 on a national basis. We have employers who've been implementing that for 6-7 years. I didn't see it, but really it codified it in Texas that there is not exclusivity by the BUCA plans, that they cannot demand exclusivity. And so, you know, that was a really nice step. I think it made employers more comfortable with that clause in their contract that says, you know, you can't carve out imaging or whatever services except where excluded by law. That makes sure that, you know, that excluded by law is not just the HIPAA omnibus statute, it's actually this House bill in Texas. But I think even it more interesting is 2002, and that became law in September of last year. And really, we were asked, Catherine and I were asked to Austin, maybe in January with a group of people, the Cicero Institute and the Texas Public Policy Foundation. It brought us there and they said, we've got this great statute and nobody's doing it. How do we get the word out? And so, you know, I've really tried to make that part of my mission to get the word out. But what it is that for any health plan that's regulated by the Texas Department of Insurance, so that is ACA plans, what people consider Obamacare marketplace plans, whether they're individual, they are small group or large group, PPOs specifically. If a member has a service that is less than and pays less than the average price in the network, that the insurance company must accept the accumulators. They must accept that accumulator toward their deductible. So they have to apply it against the deductible. And you know, the law was pretty loosely written. They have since tightened it up, and it now has to apply to the in-network deductible, which is even better. And there's still some pushback right now about how the insurers are going to ingest the information. I would say, you know, that's one of the things we've spent a lot of effort on the last couple of years is going to electronic claims. And that I think that's going to pay off here because we're actually supplying our patients with a HICFA form that they can actually submit. And then there's nothing, that's what the insurers are ingesting from you know, from providers all over the country. So there's no way they can say we can't ingest this. So I think what this is going to do, and this is I'm trying to be very creative with how this can be implemented, but I talked to a friend of mine who handles small group healthcare plans in Washington State. And I said, why couldn't you then buy the cheapest plan in Texas, which is going to be a qualified high deductible healthcare plan, at the biggest deductible possible as a catastrophic plan, and then just pay for care, pay for the oil changes underneath that, pay for the direct primary care, pay for the imaging, pay for these things until you have a real catastrophic event, and then the insurance kicks in. So I think it really provides that vehicle now in Texas without the constraints of the HSA, which is a whole other story. But getting around those first dollar exclusions, you know, that you just don't turn on the HSA portion of this plan. You don't qualify the plan. And so now you have this great catastrophic coverage. They can get the care they need, but you can pay for the oil changes underneath it.
I think it's a step in the right direction for sure. You know, I'm always wary about high deductible plans just from my standpoint, because most Americans don't have savings to actually cover that. So right. It's always, you know, it's always some middle ground. But, you know, I salute what you've done and the work you've done down in Texas, because, you know, it can be a leadership example for the other 49 states, or probably in reality, like about 33 of them that would actually be looking at Texas to be doing something and want to emulate what Texas is doing. There are some states, like you mentioned earlier, that you're like, probably not going to be thinking innovatively along the lines there. So
Tennessee has actually done it, and I must give them credit. And Cicero Institute is really trying to spread this nationally.
So other states like to copy and paste. There's very few states that go out there and be like, I want to be the first one to jump in, because it's, they want to get reelected, right? And very few politicians want to be innovators. But if they see something working, then they're going to go out and do it and bring them to the citizens of their state. So looking forward, I mean, are you having conversations with the people you worked with in other states? And you mentioned Tennessee before Texas there, but are you getting interest in phone calls from people saying, hey, what is it that you guys did, and how do we do our own version of it?
Absolutely. And fortunately, I have some really good foundation and institute members to pass them off to, you know, who can really help with this, help with the, you know, the direct wording for the legislation. That's very much part of what we do. But we actually hosted a webinar, our Houston Free Market Medical Association chapter, and we had about 65 people on listening to what we were doing, and they were not all Texans and not all local. So there's definitely a national interest in this, and I probably get an email a day or a LinkedIn reach out a day about the legislation. So there's definitely interest, and there's, you know, interest in what else can happen that can free up this market and make things easier.
So just kind of recap, you know, an industry that we view traditionally has been resistant to change. We've highlighted some different things that you're doing on the corporate front, what I call corporate green imaging front, being active in the legislation. And I think a lot of people are kind of fearful of that, to call up their state rep and call up their state senator and say, here's how this can impact me, or here's some different ideas. So it's always interesting to talk to, I'm about to say, like, ordinary people. By no means would I consider you to be just an ordinary person, but the impact that you can have by just being involved in these conversations is truly life-changing for, you know, a lot of people, even as big as the state of Texas is concerned. So I want to bring this back to the day job. I want to talk about green imaging. Looking forward, what other landmines do you see that are out there that, you know, either has a market fix or legislative fix that you can see as potentially screwing things up or running into resistance, or are you just free and clear sailing away?
I would say the big problem in our ecosystem right now is coordination of care. We have these companies, very innovative companies. They've got their own model and the way that they're doing things and are trying to save costs. So we're not maybe as flexible in their workflows because there's certainly cost savings in doing things one way. How we intersect, you know, I would say that what I call radiologist medical management is critical. We are the first person who frequently knows about a cancer or a surgery, and our being able to convey that way ahead of the ICD-10 code going across to somebody who's monitoring those and looking for codes that might, you know, result in a surgery. That surgery's already happened. That person's already gone down the hall at the hospital to the orthopedist and had that surgery. And so where we can intervene, but we have to know the other solutions that are in place. So I think it's really integrating the pieces. And what I'm seeing two things emerge in the market right now. One is navigation. It's obvious, and when we said this years ago, we had built an app for patients to self-schedule. They don't know what to schedule. They can't read the doctor's order to even think about what to schedule. And they need hand-holding when they're in times of healthcare stress. Even a mammogram is stressful. And so navigation, I think, is proving to be critical in our ecosystem and something that, you know, we've now fostered the solution to help with that. And then the other thing is people actually creating health plans and not just pulling solutions together. There have been some not quite disasters, but close to that we've seen in the market as people start trying to do this. But, you know, you've got to dip your toe in the water. You've got to find where things can go wrong. And so more power to them, and we'll keep, you know, fighting the good fight. But I think health plans are the next, very innovative health plans are kind of the next step that really integrate the solutions, are really underwritten appropriately, you know, that the stop loss is appropriate. And, you know, whether it's ag stop loss or whether it's individual stop loss, those things are all considered and everybody is aware of them. Everybody's aware of the plan design. And that's one of the, you know, bad plan design is deadly to a solution. And so where people are putting plan design, traditional plan designs in place, it's been a killer. So I think those two things, navigation and more innovative health plans, and I love the ones that are DPC-centric. I think that has the most, you know, there you're getting the navigation and the great primary care.
Dr. Kristen Dickerson with Green Imaging. Dr. Dickerson, as always, it's an absolute pleasure to speak with you. Don't be such a stranger next time, you know, when we come on to discuss the next world-changing initiative that you're a part of. Appreciate you coming on the show once again.
Thanks so much. Enjoyed it.
And to our listeners, thank you, as always, for tuning in. If you're intrigued by the potential of direct care and all its many forms, and want to learn more about simplifying your healthcare journey, subscribe to this podcast, Healthcare Americana. Share this episode with somebody that you think might benefit or might enjoy the listen as well. And let's continue to make healthcare more accessible to everyone. Once again, I am your host, Christopher Habig. Thanks for listening.
Check out healthcareamericana.com to hear all of our episodes. Visit the shop and learn more about the podcast. Healthcare Americana is produced and managed by Taylor Scott and iPodcast Pro. Healthcare Americana is brought to you by Freedom HealthWorks and Freedom Doc. If you've been struggling to get the care you need and the access you want, it's time to join your local Freedom Doc. Visit freedomdoc.care to find the practice location nearest you.
Whether you're a patient, employer, or physician, the Free Market Medical Association can facilitate and assist you in your free market healthcare journey. The foundation of our association is built upon three pillars: price, value, and equality, with complete transparency in everything we do. Our goal is simple: match willing buyers with willing sellers of valuable healthcare services. Join us and help accelerate the growth of the free market healthcare revolution. For more information on the Free Market Medical Association, visit fmma.org.